listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading from this song, Take My Life and Let It Be, the last verse. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever, only, all for thee. Reading today from Romans chapter 3, reading the first four verses, and then reading 9 through 24. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and might overcome when thou art judged. And then reading verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and miseries are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Let's give thanks for this message of the gospel, as well as this declaration of us in our sin, describing us perfectly. Father, we do give thanks for the gospel. We give thanks that at the end of this picture, this sad list, this category of our sin, we could have those wonderful words, but now thy righteousness without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of thee and from thee, by the faith of Christ, as well as the faith in Christ. We give thanks that, Father, thou hast so loved the world, that thou didst give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray, Father, that that verse that is known by so many, intellectually, in memory, children as well as older ones, may become a reality to many perishing sinners, to many that are in the perishing state, and then believing thy love and giving Christ, thy love and taking away their sin through and because of Christ. And as, Lord Jesus, you spoke to Nicodemus earlier, telling him that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so thou must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on thee should not perish, but have eternal life. We pray that we might see these things as they are in Scripture, that we might know this gospel, this good news of thy death and resurrection. We pray that, Father, we may also know our sin, that we may be made to hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we may know, as we have read, that by the law is the knowledge of sin, that we may know thee as Creator, that we may know, Father, that there is every right to be under thy holy law, that thou hast right to put it over us, and we to be under it. We ask, Father, for thy teaching today with the Holy Spirit, that we might be led rightly into the words that we read and think of and consider, both of Israel and ourselves, all through Christ. Amen. As we read these words, I'd like to read them especially in the light of what we have been considering of Judah, as we read of them described in Jeremiah, the 11th chapter, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, seeing them in their disobedience, seeing them break the covenant that God gave to them, the commands that were given so plainly from Mount Sinai, spoken in the midst of the thunders and the lightnings, that which is often called the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and as well all his commandments that he gave to Moses, that in turn Moses would give to them, in all the ways that they would have their laws, judicial laws for that nation, ceremonial laws in the way of their offerings, and those which were types of Christ, especially in the sacrifices, and many other things that were all types, teachings, to show the coming of Christ. Now we can ask the question, as we read in this third chapter of Romans, this letter to the New Testament church, are we better than they? And the answer comes back, no, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, all carrying a load of sin, as well as to be seen by God in and under our sin, guilty. We need to do, as we read here, that all the world may become guilty before God, that every mouth may be stopped. May we have no more to say than just that God is right, God is just, as well as holy, and he can put us guilty before himself. And that's all we are then, is guilty, guilty, guilty. Judah was guilty. Over and over, Jeremiah states that cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. And he goes on to say that, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the word of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. It was as if they were going in one direction, and God was protesting, saying, stop, begin to obey. And yet we read in the next verse, Jeremiah 11, verse 8, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. This was about 608 years before the coming of Christ. This was the year before the captivity began, about 1 year before Daniel, who was one of the first captives to be carried away, went to Babylon. And from then on, for about 19 years, Israel would be carried away captive, till finally, 588 years, those 19 years later, Jerusalem would be completely destroyed, taken, walls broken down, the temple and the houses burnt. God's judgment. They didn't believe they were guilty at this time in the beginning, nor would they believe they were guilty during the time of the beginning of the captivity, the beginning of some of the cities being taken throughout, we might say, rural Judah, Jerusalem for being the last to fall. And again, we could ask the question today, these many years later, 2,600 years later, after this happened, and it actually did happen. It did take place. I was reading today of one who wrote about what took place in this country a number of years ago, in what we call 9/11, when these two huge buildings were destroyed, airplanes flying in them. People were somewhat fearful for a time. Church attendance went up, but it did not take long. It also waned. Possibly, when some of the things happened here, some of the people may have paid some attention. But even as we can read earlier in this letter, or this prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah describing them, he said, they turned but faintly and not with a whole heart. If we turned at all at that time, we did the same, but faintly. Sadly, we are probably in a worse place today than we were at that time when these buildings were destroyed. We are more wicked when it comes to abortion. We're deciding how much more money we're going to spend to kill babies. Called a health plan. A health plan that has provision for murder. To pay to murder the unborn. Yes, as Isaiah had said long before, they call black white and white black. We are as wicked as Judah. And certainly the question again can be thought of, are we better than they? In no wise. And then we have this whole list of sins. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And then think again of the 15th verse of Romans 3. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There are a few today who want to stop the abortion ways, the killing of the unborn. But there are many whose feet are swift, and they say, we will not let that take place. We will not be stopped in it. They are paying wicked organizations, giving money for them to perform these terrible, dastardly, wicked deeds. So wicked. If someone would see another tear your body apart, tear your limbs off from your body, one by one, they would soon be described as a horrible murder. But this is what is happening to the unborn in their mother's womb. It is true there are different ways of death, but some of them are performed in that awful way. Their body torn apart. Stabbed. Dying at the hands of those who are called doctors. Called nurses. What more awful thing could it be? We talk about hypocrites in the church. We have hypocrisy everywhere, in government, sadly, in the medical profession. And I certainly do not want to include those who would not want to perform abortion. But there are those who do this. Yes, we have every reason today, we in our country and others in their country, to come to this place, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. That did not happen with Judah. There was no repentance. There was no reviving amongst those who were believers at that time, however many there were. Evidently Daniel, as I mentioned earlier, carried away one of the first captives, was a believer, carried away as a little boy. There may have been others, but they weren't left in the land. They were carried away captive. There was Esther later, Mordecai, and others. Some of them probably born in the land, as some of them may come to their names be known far later in the history of the captivity. All of that took place. And again, will it take place in our nation? Or will we have, as Christ commanded, on the day of his resurrection, the afternoon as it's recorded in, or the evening as it's recorded in Luke chapter 24. When he first of all opened their understanding, the apostles, that they might understand the scriptures, and then telling them plainly that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I say again, that did not take place in Judah. Jeremiah, it is true, preached repentance. And there would have been remission of sins if they had believed that message and acted on it. But there was destruction. There was death. There was captivity. That may well come in our country. It is taking place today in many countries. Death has come. There was a famine there in Judah. There's famines and hunger and people dying in nations today. God's judgment. Not anymore that, not that those deserve it any more than the rest of us, but it's there. And it can take place in our nation. God withholds the rain. There will be famine in any and every nation. We need to have this message of repentance and remission of sins together. Christ gave them together. There is remission of sins. There is forgiveness. But repentance, as Christ said, needs to be preached in His name. It came from the Lord Jesus and must be preached in His name to be performed, to be believed. Not only that we need to preach it and act on it, but to believe that He can do it. He can give it. When we think of Peter's message in Acts chapter 5, we read, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." Those guilty leaders that he was speaking to did that. And then the Lord Jesus said in the 31st verse, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." The Lord Jesus had told the apostles, including Peter, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Here, Peter is declaring that this comes through Christ. It is certainly one of the things we can pray for. One of the things we can pray for Judah today, Israel today, and each and every one of our countries today. When Jeremiah was speaking here, in this 11th chapter of Jeremiah, as we have read and pointed out the number of times that God spoke of through Jeremiah, this covenant, this covenant, this covenant, and then in the end, my covenant. Yes, a covenant under law. Obey, blessing. Disobey, cursing. But God also promised another covenant later, recorded in Jeremiah chapter 31. And in the chapters following, it's referred to as well. A new covenant. He would write on their hearts His law. They wouldn't have to teach every man their neighbor anymore. They would all know it from the Lord. They would know it together. And that's what we need today. And that's what Christ can do. He promised it there. It was from the Lord Jesus, as well as from God the Father, and by the Spirit. When He said, "A new covenant will I make with the house of Judah and the house of Israel, both," that may have been fulfilled in part at different times in history. It may have been fulfilled in part on some of those that came back with Ezra and others that led them, Zerubbabel and the leaders. It may have been fulfilled in part on the day of Pentecost when there were these Jews from these many different nations coming to commemorate the day of Pentecost. And God poured out His Spirit and 3,000 gladly received the word that Peter preached about Christ and told them to repent and be baptized in His name. And 3,000 gladly received that word and were baptized. That is part of the new covenant, the covenant in Christ, the covenant which the law cannot change or stop. The law can make us know our guilt, as we read in Romans 3. by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. But when we have believed that in repentance, yes, in repentance, in submitting to God, in having our mouth stopped, has your mouth ever been stopped? As I stand here today and try to preach the word, has my mouth been truly stopped? That's first. Stopped first. Then blessed, led by God, given faith, then to confess Him. And only then can we preach His name, His word. Only then can we preach repentance and remission of sins. Isaiah, who was in Judah before Israel, saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Then his lips were touched. And then he could, when God said, who shall I send? And he could said, send me. He had been prepared. We need prepared preachers. The apostles had to be prepared too. They weren't prepared before the death of Christ. The Lord Jesus on the day of resurrection said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. First of all, they were humbled. So they came to agreement. They could then pray in one accord. Who can do that today? How many churches today can pray in one accord? If we have differences, try to find from God's word how those differences should be resolved, how they should be believed, and cry out to God that He will write His law on our hearts. Like we read there in Jeremiah chapter 31, I will write my law on their hearts. And along with it, when He does that, He's actually putting sanctification there first. But He also speaks of their being justified. Their sins will I remember no more. He will put them away. He will forgive them. And that, I believe, is still coming, probably in a greater way for Israel and Judah than it ever has taken place. Through all this history up to this time of Jeremiah, the time of Isaiah, we can only speak of a remnant being saved. A remnant, a small group out of there, out of Israel. Israel as the sand of the sea for multitude, but a remnant shall be saved and was saved. But then God is going to write the law so they'll all know it. All pray for it. Pray for it. Pray for it. For yourself. For your families. Your churches. Pray for our nation. Pray for Israel as well. Pray that God will give him who can give repentance and remission of sins to Israel and to us.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.